Welcome to Starfleet Universe On Call. I am Paul Franz, owner of Franz Games. I run SFB Online, FedCom Online, and Starfleet Warlord. Just a reminder how to join us, we have Talkcast every Thursday night starting at 9:30 p.m. Eastern Time. You can either call on the phone, just dial 605-562-0444. Just follow the directions, and the call ID is 177-04-02. Or you can participate on the web. Just go to the Talks website at www.talkshoe.com and search for call ID 177-02. And if you need to contact me for any reason, my email address is sfuoncall@gmail.com. That's sfuoncall@gmail.com. Also, if you want to reach me via Twitter, my account there is sfuoncall. Spelled the same way. And I have a personal account called Paul Franz. If you want to follow me there, that is fine and dandy. Just a reminder, I am proud of being Catholic, an O's fan, and I love technology. So if you don't like any one of those, then I would remind you not to follow me. Also, a reminder that this podcast is co-streamed, co-broadcast on the Twitch.tv network. So just go to twitch.tv/sfuoncall, and you will find me there streaming away and you'll get to see my desktop, my lovely, lovely face, and get to be involved in the conversation. That I am always looking at the chat room for different things, from Aegis to Barry Kirk to many other people who also show up there. And of course, this lovely Talkcast gets turned to a podcast and available on various other feeds around the net. Just one quick news. Blip from ADB, Starfleet Marines Counterpunch is now available on Wargame Vault, Warehouse 23, and Drive-Thru RPG. Those are additional, ebook counters. Basically, if you want to use them, you have to print them out yourself and so forth. You can do that, and you can probably get some hardy stock that you can get them printed out on, and they'll work very well. They're really nice counters, and actually, one thing I need to do is go and buy myself a set or two. I gotta make sure I have all of those Starfleet Marines counters, because I really like Starfleet Marines, even though I don't get that many opportunities to actually play the game myself. Onward and forward to the SFB Online tournament. That's the Sapphire Star 6 tournament. It's gone all the way to the finals already. I lost against Seth in my round 2. Seth then played in round 3. And within this past week, Andy played his game. He won that one. So it's going to be Seth Szymanski versus Andy Koch. Andy is flying the Wynn Auxiliary Battlecruiser. And, of course, Seth is flying the Fed, which has the G-Rack. Of course, the funny part for me that I noticed was Andy just beat a Fed in the last round, so he has to beat two Feds in a row. Of course, Feds are actually one of the more popular ships this time around. Moving onward and forward, unfortunately, when it comes to library progress, not much there. The FedCom library is still the same. Squadron size 377, fleet size 278, but I did send out some more background images so that they can be worked on. So not my fault this time that we don't have any. And I'm not going to blame Chris, who I sent them to, because of, I'm sure Seth is busy with other real life issues, but I just want to say, at least I did my part. I didn't delay this time. So they are out there. So I'm waiting for some X ships to post up in the library so people can play those, which I think will be quite interesting. And so a quick note that I definitely will be working very hard to get this weekend an update to the SFU Online client. There are many fixes and many changes in that, including a search in the add pieces dialog. There's also, I fixed the issues with the fracs, both the missile weapon and also the AFD. And That's just a few of the changes that are going to occur. Actually, the funny part for me was there was one, which is for the Klingon tournament cruiser, and it had the wrong turn mode listed. So, you know, for those of you who play the online client, when you do a speed plot, it shows that little turn mode. Well, the turn mode is coming up wrong. The turn mode on the SSD itself, that was correct. The turn mode that was on the speed plot was wrong. So I fixed that. And to me, the funny part about that is that that's probably been like that for 10 years. And no one has ever mentioned it to me until this past month. So that's fixed. I also fixed the Andromeda because it had the wrong tier listed there, listed as TRLs when they were TRHs, and it was kind of obvious on the SSD that there were TRHs. So minor issue there that has been fixed. And with that, that is the news for this week. And it's me, the one and only Paul Friends, welcoming you to Starfleet Universe On Call. And tonight, got me. I don't see anyone else in the chat room at the moment, but I'm sure I will see some people that would be joining me in the Twitch room, which would be awesome. I can't wait to actually see people there. It would be awesome if you could join us. That's twitch.tv/SFUOnCall. I keep an eye on that chat room so that I am there. This week, actually, we are going to do something which I've done in the past, and I think people truly enjoy. At least I know people on YouTube definitely enjoy, and I have not heard feedback from other people say, stop doing them. If you really don't like them, please email me at sfuoncall@gmail.com. That's sfuoncall@gmail.com. I'm willing to bet that most people do like it, at the very least, to change of pace. You get to actually see some actual SFB play, and I do a analysis of how good and how bad I was for that game. So hopefully we will go through this relatively quickly, and I got a bad feeling about this because I just realized that this video is only 29 minutes long, which means this might have, just a quick note, and that is this round one game, there was a brief interruption on the online service. I know what happened. That will be resolved in the near future, which is our load balancer got bounced in the middle of the game, and unfortunately, currently all of our connections are going through the load balancer, and so that when the load balancer got bounced to do something else, it basically killed all the connections. So I'll make sure that that doesn't happen in the future when it comes to cutting the connections for the game server because the game server really doesn't need a load balancer. So going with that, we are going to start my round one game. This is an Andromedan versus a Hydran. Just to let you know, I did not realize this at the time. This is Graham's son. Graham's son is 10 years old. Yes, I beat up on a 10-year-old. But it still was a pretty good game. It wasn't great now that I look back on it. You know, there were definitely some issues with how Graham's son, I don't know Graham's son's name. I think it might be Trent. I'm trying to remember this from memory, so I'm not quite sure. I think it might be Trent. So, in that case, we shall start the game. Okay, this is the very beginning of the game. As you can see, I've just started my energy allocation. My opponent has already completed his, but of course he has the hydrant and so forth. His is relatively simple to play, you know. Okay. I'm sorry. Okay, back up. Okay, let's do something. Let's back up a little bit. I think I might have gone a little too fast for that. Which is okay. Let's turn back this back to normal just for the moment. And that is, This is my speed plot. Back up just a little bit, because I think this is an important part. And that is, okay, if you notice here, I start with a very fast speed 30. The whole idea of starting that fast, of course, I'll say it anyway, just because I think it's of course, but if you really don't think it through, sometimes it doesn't come obvious. You don't really think it off the top of your head, which is, in most games, you want to control the center of the board. Now, in the case of the Andromedan, I don't really want to control the center board because of I need some space overall. So I can do some toggling of my panels, things like that I need to do. But in this case, I wanted to get to the center of the board so I can engage early so I can escape at the latter half of the turn. So let's just continue this. So if you see that, you know, that I slow down later in the turn to save some energy. And then I increase my speed back up. Wasn't sure 27 or 20. In the Andromeda, it doesn't matter. But the only reason I would choose 28 over 27 at all, at least in that latter half of the game, is so that I still, for the most part, I have the initiative. That means I can wait for my opponent to move first. Now, in theory, can someone go 30 latter half, you know, that latter part of the turn and beat me to it? Yeah. Would they want to? Depends what they plan on doing. Because here's always the big issue with regular tournamentship. I'm disqualifying the Orion at this moment in time because the Orion themselves is a totally different bird to fly against. And I just, you hope and pray on that one. And I do mean that. Because I've gotten close to beating an Orion. Close, that's about it. And that's because everything went right. Everything went right. I actually had him hit the T-bomb, so I got the extra 10 points of damage. I kept them close early, and I was able to get the damage that I wanted to get. Because the problem is that after you hit him, he's just going to follow you really close around the board because he can do it. And that's the problem. So he gives you no opportunity to get the power out of your panels. And if you hit, he can hit back. So he's got two hits. So in a way, you have to make sure that he uses his two hits up very quickly. Early in the game, in that case. But we're not flying that. We're flying against the Hydran right now. So right now, okay, what I'm doing is I'm discharging it first to make sure that, okay, all the powder is used, but also I want to keep an eye on this warp power, because what I want to do is have it so that reserve warp is all of the warp power that is available to me. That lets me actually use the warp power as reserve power whenever I need it, you know, and so forth. So the whole idea of you discharge your batteries and then you use reserve, you basically recharge the batteries using warp, and then you can use that for reserve warp. And that's how you're supposed to do it. Let me just increase this just a tiny bit more. Let's go to two times approximately. Okay. But I felt like I needed to slow down so I can show you guys the speed plot, because that went by real fast, because I had a pretty good idea at that moment in time how long it was going to take me. I mean, what I wanted to do on the first turn. Round two, that was a little different. Okay, it starts. Yeah, Trent, that's it. Basically, I was flying against Trent. Trent and Graham were both sharing the same account. Overall, I don't like that idea. And here's the reason why. And this is purely, it has nothing to do about the Trent really should have his own account. I'm, you know, that's not the point at this for what I'm talking about. And because if Graham really wanted to, I would have been happy to give his son a free account for the duration of the tournament, so that, you know, his son could play and have a separate account. What gets difficult is the tracking of the wins and losses, because now you have an actual account on the wins and losses pages for the tournament that keeps track of it, where one of the players doesn't exist, basically. Doesn't have an account. So, you know, if that happens in the future, maybe I'll see if it would be okay for Graham to give Trent a free account for the duration of the tournament. As soon as the tournament was over, I would then revoke the account. Because basically it would be just for the purposes of playing in the tournament. And just to keep things straight when it comes to the tracking of wins and losses for the tournament. So, moving on and forward. Okay. Just setting up the colors. I thought I had a... For all of you out there, I'm sorry. This is not exactly the best quality. I'm not sure what it is. I have to check with OBS to see what's going on with that. Yeah, there's the tournament cruisers. You know, the Andromeda has the two heavy TRs, and I'm gonna be running the tournament. And obviously, it was announced that he's going speed 16, so he's going quite slow. That allowed me to come in relatively quickly. Okay, let me do this. Let's crank the playback speed. Just because of... Otherwise, this can be a very, very long game. Okay, we're moving towards the center of the board. You know, here's me. The range is already 25. It's down to 24. Keep moving. Okay. Yeah, I like people using the activity button, and that the reminder that I need to do my own speed change, which is down to 21. At this point, he's actually has the initiative on me. As you see, I got a nice 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Five range oblique against a hydrant. That's where you want to be. You want to hopefully and get to range 5 on the oblique, because that still, when it comes to his hell bores, they're still the long range. And but for the TRs have the better range, have the 4 to 5 range. So in the 4 to 5 range, yeah, as I mentioned, you can, if you do a copy paste, it will actually copy paste the ships. I might remove that feature at some point, but you know, the whole idea was to help people add ships to the board for fleet battles. If you notice, it's all range fives. Yeah, TRLs are TRHs. I had someone else do the SSD, and I was not careful to recheck. So I have fixed that in the latest version of the client that will be hopefully sent out this week. So I totaled 42 points of damage. I rolled pretty well for my TRHs. Got 40 points of damage. So at range 5, this is the one great thing about this Andromedan, is that now I've actually got a chance of actually doing internal damage at range 5. If, just like a Klingon has a chance to do, or Fed, or Hydra, every single ship out there could go to range 5, and there was a chance, sometimes not a great chance, but it did have me, definitely did have a chance at least, to do internals, you know. And that was one thing that really bugged me. Yeah, and obviously I got the Hellbore, I got the Hellbore, got a phaser. I forgot what I'm doing here. Got a fusion. A lot of hull and a warp. So this allowed, you know, this is, to me, this was one of the best results I possibly could have done to the Hydran, in that I got a Hellbore. That means that limits his possibility of damage he could possibly do to me. So let's go forward, shall we? Oh, yeah, I think this was... Right, he fires. Oh, crap. I just realized. The Hellbore was out of arc. He couldn't have fired at me at this point. I didn't even realize that at the time. I wasn't paying good enough attention. So I could beat up on him even worse than I did. I'm not that I really wanted to beat up that much on a 10-year-old kid. But, you know, he didn't declare it right, so it was 19 points. So 10 and, yeah, 10 and 9 apply to both of those. See, There's the degradation, there's the energy. Oh yeah, okay, I forgot. That was, okay, let's pause for a moment. That was just a showing of the two steps. You have the first step and then you have the other step. Okay. Turned away, going for the corner. Now, this is where I think he turns in. Which exactly, yeah, he turns in. Now, overall, this is not a good move for the Hydran because, yes, right now he's on a new shield, but at this point, yeah, at this point right now, I'm on the down shield over here, right here. But at the same time, I'm on the left side, so that my right side phasers aren't in arc. Yeah, I wanted to see what my speed plot was when I changed. Obviously, I could have right clicked on here and brought up my the change plot, and then that would show me the speed plot. Oh, there it is. So here. Okay, let me just back up this a tiny bit. Here. This, my friends, is beauty. Because he was moving slow and he's doing the side slip towards me, but I'm not as afraid to go towards him because of he's already fired basically all his phasers. He fired three of his phasers, three ones. There's still one phaser one I think he left unfired. I'm not sure why, but he did. Even if he would have fired, it wouldn't have mattered. Really, it wouldn't have mattered. Because it's on a rear shield, it's a brand new shield, relative. Has left damage in the front shield. Front panel, sorry. But now, I've got my right side phasers here, right down there. So what happens? Dun, dun, dun. Fire! Oh, first thing, I totally forgot about that. First, I had to announce my speed change. Then I go, okay, let's fire. So I'm gonna be clicking on here and here. Oh, I forgot. I want to also announce the DizDev because what I wanted to do is see here. Okay, I put right. Impulse on the board, put it over here, and it's going to be basically, I'm going to be going here. The idea there is that if he wants to follow me, he has to hit. Would that be a good idea for him? In my mind, probably. Because he wants to chase me. Now, of course, the biggest issue there is, did he already use up all his reserve power to block the damage that I did to his ship? And I don't think he used any reserve power. So that was another mistake that he made. That might not be a mistake per se. Actually, I think a mistake, because there's a big difference between 7 internals and 12 internals when it comes to the possibility of having more weapons damage. So that was another kind of minor mistake that my opponent made. Okay, I fire the right side phasers, range 3, 2 phaser 2s, and what do I roll? I rolled a 1 and a 6 at range 3, so that's 7 points of damage. That's 7 more internals. That's a total of 19 internals. So he rolls, and what did he get? Okay, we got some more center hole. Left warp. I killed the second hell warp. Here's the thing. And when I said that makes things difficult, I was not kidding about that. Because of, I think this might be based on my speed, which I think is a good thing. Now, given that, he's got himself in a real difficult situation. He's down both his main weapons, the Hellbores. That leaves his fusions, only two of his fusion beams. Most people at this point will concede. And I was actually, that's the one thing. I was expecting at that moment in time for Trent to concede, but he didn't. So let's continue on. And I was being snide that, that makes things difficult, because it truly does. You can still possibly win, but it required things. You know, obviously I rolled well, rolled a 4, succeeded, and then, yay, boom, jumped over here. I think I was going to say, do you want? I think I was asking if you wanted to concede. I was going to ask that, and I went, nope, he will tell me. So at that point, I headed away from him because I figured the best thing to do at this moment in time, all right, and this is where I changed my panels from, did I turn off my panels? Sorry, I went through that really, really quick. Playback, let's... Oops, so I need to go back a little bit because... Right, I was just tracking that. Oh, that wasn't me. That was him. There was no activity. Oh, yes. I remember what he does now. Okay. Because what he does is he announces the launching of his two fighters. Which, obviously, overall, I think at this point, it's a good tactic to use. And that is, he wants to use his fighters to pin me, because the fighters, yes, they're only speed 15, but that's all they need to be. They don't need to be that fast. Let's pause this for a moment. Let's increase the playback speed again. So let's let go pretty. There it is. He launches two Hydran fighters. Okay. And then go to the next impulse. Keep going. Yeah, there was counting my energy just to see, okay, where was I in this whole craziness called the tournament, you know, because this is, let me just pause this for a moment, and that's one of those things as an Andromeda you're constantly doing. You're constantly looking to see how much energy is in your panels, how much you can withdraw, how much all of that, you know, can you do a panel dump? You know, what happens if you do a, you know, drop your reinforced to standard, you completely drop your front panels or your rear panels. That's the things you're constantly thinking about. Now, Barry thinks all, you know, his changes, the crazy idea he had, which was, don't worry about that. You know, just when you withdraw the energy from it, it does damage. Thinking wise, you know, it doesn't make much sense. I'm not sure how it affects tactics, but I know this. I know that worrying about how much energy is in your panels does not go away by that action, by changing it so that the degradation is caused by removal of energy, because you still, if given that scenario, then you go on, okay, how much can I actually take into the batteries? Obviously, you're always going to put in counts of two because of this crazy scheme, which is if you take 2 points of energy, you attempt to take 2 points of energy, you try to suck it out of the panels, you cause 1 point of degradation by trying to suck out the two, but you only get one. It's a very inefficient system, is the way he's thinking. But still, you have to then... You have to balance out how much degradation you're going to be doing to your panels versus how much power you're going to get into your batteries. Now, the other thing, you know, was that I could repair up to 1 point of degradation, I think, per panel per turn for free, which, again, is kind of an interesting way of doing it. But, you know, it is what it is. The point I was trying to make is just that, you know, you're constantly thinking about energy. Let me get back. get back to our program in progress. Okay, I didn't do anything. He didn't do anything. Okay. Still, okay, he's, there's the little itty bitty fighters right there. Yeah, I just want to remind Trent that when it comes to movement order, fighters go last because of their nimble and their fighters. If you look at the order of precedence, shuttles, fighters go next, well, next to last, absolute last is seeking weapons. And my understanding is even when it comes to seeking weapons, even if the seeking weapon is a seeking shuttle, it still goes last. Let's take for any end of turn. I forgot to check to see if there's any activity of this impulse. And also check to see if there's any end of turn activity. Because of... I just realized what he said. And that is, he mentions that he would eject a Hellbore, which tells me the only way, the only time you ever would eject the Hellbore is if you had overloaded the Hellbore. Which, in a way, he should have never, ever, ever told me, because of what's the number one information that you want from your opponent is how much energy has he used. And if we know that he used it for overloads, that means we know better about what he did not use it for. Did not use it for reinforcement. You know, of course, the question is, where did the reinforcement go? That's one thing I did not ask for at the very end of the game, which was to reveal his EA. Because that's part of a standard practice, which is, you know, revealing the EA, just confirm to the opponent that you did not cheat and things like that, you know. So that's actually one of those things that was a possibility that I was thinking about, given one of the situations that occurred in one of the games in this Sapphire. And that is, somebody said, oh, you know, the battery got destroyed and all of a sudden he could do a het. And he said, oh, well, I could do a contingency het. Basically, he put his power, he said, oh, you know, my batteries are going to have a good possibility of being destroyed next impulse because of how much damage they're going to be taking. So what I'm going to do at the end of the turn before, the impulse before that, is I'm going to take all that energy that's in my batteries and I'm going to allocate a het. It's hard. We have to, at the moment, we have to trust the person. Now, there's a possibility what I can do is, because I've thought about this before, which is, see, is for Andromedans, it makes a lot of sense. For other people, but, you know, with that possibility, that might make a little more sense, which is the whole idea of tracking the use of reserve power. When you use reserve power, instead of modifying that field directly in the EA, what you'd have to do is go into a special dialogue. And in that dialogue, you then would click it and say, okay, reserve power is, you know, this is how much I'm using. This is the activity I'm using it for. I know the client knows what impulse you are currently at. I could that's harder to do. I really can't do that. Which is, I'm thinking about, okay, you could actually mark the segment which you're allocating the reserve power for. Now, the problem with allocating reserve power for a certain segment is that you never know when you're past that segment. So it is what it is. Let's move onward and forward and just do something. I totally forgot about Barry. Actually was going to show up. Hey, Barry.
Hey, I've been here for 20 minutes waiting for you to unmute me.
I'm sorry. You said you were going to be late. I wasn't sure how late. And okay, hold on. Let me pause this.
Yeah,
I'm currently going through my round one game against Trent, Graham's son.
Yes. Yeah, I've been listening to it. So, yeah.
Yeah, if you brought up the, except you're probably just on the phone, right?
What's that?
You're just on the phone, correct? You're basically not at a computer.
That is correct. I'm on the phone. So okay. I've been listening. I haven't been watching.
Right, which means that you can't see some of the mistakes that Trent's made and you know, how things have been going for me in this game and how overall that's, you know,
yeah.
Other than you've been hearing what I've said, like,
you know, no, it's pretty easy to follow a game when you're just listening.
Okay, that thank you. I'm glad, Barry, because of obviously this is not just a video cast. This is also a podcast, which means people are completely listening to just a audio recording of my descriptions. Mm-hmm. So I was hoping that I'm being successful in.
Yeah, the right information came across. So.
Okay, cool. Well, I will continue this then because mm-hmm. we've ended turn number one. Of course, I absorbed three into the batteries. I dissipated six from the front, four from the back because there's energy in the back because of his Hellbores. Because got 9 points of energy in the rear panels from the Hellbore, 10 points of energy into the front, and that, which I if I wanted to mm-hmm. I could have taken 10 in the back, but I decided to take 10 in the front because of that.
Right.
With Hellbores and PA panels, you're when split into that extra point of energy, the Andromedan can decide which way it goes.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, moving onward and forward. Okay, now we're going on to EA. This was, fortunately, a one-session game. And at some point here, I think, yeah, I know sometime in this game, we lose connectivity. Because of, as I mentioned earlier, I'm not sure if you were on then, that... I have all the connections for the client currently going through a load balancer, and the load balancer was bounced.
Oh,
yeah. So all the connections.
I missed that part.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. I said that early on, and the reason why I didn't see you come in is because I currently have that part of my screen blocked off. Okay, there it is. I got kicked out. Actually, everyone got kicked out. Yeah, Trent's going, oh, what happened? And I said, oh, you got kicked out too. Ah. And I said, it must be a server-side issue. That's when I realized when everybody got kicked out, not just me, everybody got kicked out, that I forgot that I had all the connection going through the load balancer. I need to change that. There's no reason for when it comes to the game itself, you know, the game server itself to actually go through the load balancer. There's a reason for the web server to go through a load balancer because then I can easily switch web servers without having to do anything. Load balancer will pick up on it and boom. Because, I'm running Tomcat in the web server, but and that's session-based, but... for the most part, unless you're doing something actively into your account, which is a rare bird indeed, rare thing indeed. And even that, it's you might be in there to renew your subscription or maybe change your name, maybe change your email address. But those transactions are so few and far between and so quick that, you know, losing that session, I don't think, is the biggest loss in the world. You know, so onward and forward. Okay, I'm allocating for the next turn. Actually, let me pause that back, and because I think the one thing I missed was what did I? There, and let me slow down the playback because of. I don't think I saw how I missed my speed plot because I was in the middle of, oh, or was that earlier on? I think it might have been earlier on because I see that I already allocated 14 points to that. Okay, I'm just back up just a little bit. There it is. The flat 21. That's what it is. I decided to go flat 21 for the turn. Cause I'm going into the corner. I've got these fighters chasing me. They are basically range 10 at the end of the turn.
Mm-hmm.
So up there. Okay. Now let's speed up again. That's the only way I'll be able to review the whole game is if I speed up by 4x. Okay, I finished my energy allocation. Waiting for Trent at this point to finish his energy allocation. Man, even with 4x, this is slow. Okay, let's do this. Can I skip ahead? Oh. I skipped ahead a little bit too far. Da-da-da. There. He announced a speed change to 14. He's currently heading towards the middle of the board. His fighters are trying to meet. He knows that I'm going into the corner, but the fighters are kind of trying to meet me on the side of the board, the left-hand side of the board. Let's see where. Okay, and oh, operate shield. This is when I drop my front panels. The idea is to drop my front panels. Because the amount of energy in the panels in total isn't that much energy. Actually, it's a total of 18 points of energy in rear panels, which is still quite a bit, but it also makes it heck a lot easier to manage. Da, da, da. There's still now they're at range 11. The hydrogen just turned in, heading towards. Looks like at the moment he's heading towards the corner. He's directly pointing at the corner. Well, I'm pointing at the upper left hand corner. I just turned. Because I plan on going around the side of the board. And the question is, where will the fighters meet me? I remember this turn a bit, which is this turn. Actually, I forget if it's this turn or next turn, where the fighters get into range, less than range 10. On my rear panels, which have basically 18 points of energy into them, with 2 points of degradation, so a total of 20 boxes filled. Okay. Right, the whole idea was that I was going to drain my energy. I think, what did I do? Because I don't, I'm hoping I didn't do something stupid and maybe accidentally cheat. Because I don't think I don't. Because 18 points of power. Actually, I would have noticed that it was 18 when I tried to do something stupid. Yeah, I'm dropping the rear panels. Raise the front panels. Yeah, which I think at that point I have to cancel and go, forget that. Yeah, the guess is 18 points of damage. 18.
Yeah, sadly, I'm like exhausted here.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm going to call it a night. As for next week, I don't know. I'm flying Pittsburgh next week, but I don't know what day of the week it's going to be. Could be Wednesday, could be Thursday, could be Tuesday. I don't know.
Understood.
I don't know. Okay.
Okay. We have a good
night. Around.
Okay. And looks like I accidentally cheated. And I apologize for that. Of course, at the same time, Trent cheated too. If you look at it, which is that I couldn't have done that panel dump because of there was actually 18 points of power into it, and I couldn't do the whole panel dump because I only have 10 points of battery. Actually, no, do I have 10? No, I actually have 15 points of battery. So I couldn't have done it. But at the same time, he couldn't have fired his one hellbore at me. So I wouldn't have had that energy into it. So, you know, we both did wrongs, and I apologize for that accidental cheat. I did not realize that had occurred. And obviously, neither Trent, I'm assuming Graham was sitting behind him. Both of them missed it. And I apologize right now for missing such a gross error. But the thing is, at this point, the rear panels are down. Now, here's a major mistake that he made later on. Because we see here how here's my rear panels are coming up. Here's him. I'm trying my best to side slip, slow down as much as possible so that his fighters will not get in my rear panels. Because if he gets the rear panels, even if he's at range 10, use a double charge fusions, and he can do internals on me, and I'm might just lose what, how many phasers? I could use some phase. I could possibly lose some hull. I probably wouldn't lose any batteries, but I definitely could lose. He could do quite a bit of internals on me. Now, okay, we're waiting for. Okay, see how it's getting close. Actually, okay, let me pause. If you notice here, okay, range 8. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. And see right here, here is the shield line. The matter if I go first or they go first, because somebody's going to go first. He's right now on my rear panels, and I am praying. I am praying at this moment in time on this current situation. I'm praying that he does not notice that. For most opponents, they would take advantage of that in a heartbeat. Unfortunately, Trent missed it, you know, and I am fortunate at this part of the game that he had definitely missed it, because there's nothing I can do. I don't without heading. Excuse me. Without heading, I had no way of protecting my rear panels. Also, obviously, for me at range 8, even fusions. Oh, I agree. I'm not sure why it's such low resolution. This was a screen capture. My screen is pretty good resolution, and I'm just not sure why. I have to check on OBS. It might be something to do with OBS, because this is the first time I've actually done a screen capture with OBS. And that might be the whole issue here. And that's why it's such low resolution. And I apologize. I will endeavor to increase the resolution of those recordings. I'll look into it. Because normally when I do screen captures, I do screen captures using QuickTime. And on the Mac, it works great. It was not working. I'm not sure why it wasn't working. Because I think I tried to bring up and it just hung. It just spun. It's possible it's fixed now just by a restart of the system, but obviously the problem is the finding out there's an issue with your screen capture software like 5 minutes before you're supposed to play is not the time to be finding out. So obviously I have to work on more of making sure everything's set up to do a proper screen capture. And again, I apologize for the low resolution on this, but you can get a sense of what's going on. Now obviously it doesn't look, I'm looking at it on my little iPad here and it doesn't look that bad on my little iPad, but on my big screen, it looks awful, absolutely awful. And I apologize. Okay. I finally got to turn in, because I moved the 4 impulses and I can move in. This is where, okay, raise the rear panels because I can. Now, is this the interesting one? Actually, no, this is the interesting turn, because this is where I decide to do something crazy. And what I decided to do was I was going to thread the needle. I'm going to go, I got the fighters on my left. I got the Hydran ship on my right. And at some point, he has got to turn. I'm coming up on his number 6 shield. I'm going to be coming up on it very, very soon. And that's why I sideslip. I sideslip out. And at this point, I'm pretty sure I actually was able to. No. I moved there. He blocked by doing a sideslip. So he realized what I was doing, and he decided to block. And that's when I was thinking, because of I don't want to get too close to him. For those of you, yeah. Hi, Ross. Okay. I do a midterm speed change. Okay. And the reason why I'm doing this midterm speed change from 21 to 27 is I need to move next impulse. I need to decide where I go first. Not him, me first. So. All right. Actually, it ends up being 20. There's a bug here because it's, oh, there's, doesn't cost anything. Yes, it does. Because look at the cost of change is one. It's like, no, the cost of change was not one. It was a lot greater than one. So I had to figure it out. Because it's cost of two. One, two. So it's actually cost of two. So it's 1.33. Right, and I had to go here and go, no, it's one. From 6.00 to 7.333. Okay, I announce it, and then I wait for him to move. This is where things got real interesting, real fast. And that is, he decided to turn away because he had two choices. He could go straight ahead. If he goes straight ahead, fine. I'll go straight ahead. I'll be happy to go on your downshield. Fire my four phaser twos at you and go boop and cause all kinds of damage internally, not even on my battle pass turn. So he turns away from me, which the idea is he's protecting his shield at this point. So that gives me two choices. I can either go directly in at him, so we're at range one off his shield number two, center line for me, which is not bad. Okay, I can get six phaser twos and hit him. There's only one minor problem with that. You don't want to be that close to a hydrant. You do not. Because now you've got one fusion, you got a full gat, you've got at that point, also four phaser ones all gonna pummel you. Absolutely pummel you. So, because of that, I went, okay, this is stupid. I can't do that. So I thought about it and I decided I'm going to thread the needle. So now, so what happens is this. Okay, I turn in to him from range two. Come on, bah, 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 bah. I'm waiting for me to actually make the move. Because I had the, there. So now, here's what I got. I've got my Andromedan range two, the shield 2-3, shield number 2-3 line. Right there on that line. And so on that line, doesn't matter. Whether he was first, I go first, doesn't matter. I end up on his shield number three. Obviously, he's going to be fired. If he fires anything, it's going to be on my shield number three also, which is my rear panels. Now, here's the good thing. We're now out of his FA arc. Because if you look over here, two of the phasers now are out of arc. So he's got one phaser one, two phaser ones, and one gat at range two. That's not too bad. And he's got one fusion, if you want to fire the fusion, at range two. That's going to hurt. I'll admit, it will hurt. But it won't hurt nearly as much as having four phaser ones, a full gat, and a fusion at range one. Range one is not exactly a good thing to do when it comes to overall in the NA ship against a hydrant. You crazy? Because those fusions, they're just nasty weapons when they get up close. So let's move on forward. Oh, yeah. And then we have, of course, these guys. Got the fighters. Now, the fighters currently have not fired their fusions. So at this point, I need to do my best to wipe the planet from these guys. I need to cripple these fusion fighters. So what I do is, I forget if it's this impulse or next impulse. Let me just wait. No, it's this impulse. Okay, this impulse. What I do is I fire two of the front half phaser twos at one fighter. I then fire two of the left side phaser twos at the other fighter. The idea is to cripple both fighters. At range three, it's possible. It's hard. You have an average range three of 7 points of damage for two phaser twos. That means I have to roll pretty poorly. I have to roll below average for one of the fighters for it to survive. Because as soon as I hit seven, it's crippled. And then I fire two right side phaser twos at the hydrant so that I can get his rear shields over here. So I have a nice shield that's damaged. So I don't have to try to get to his shield number six. You know. Oh, damn. Okay. Go through this. We're waiting for him to do any announcements he wants. I'm just double checking the weapons chart, getting the weapons charge ready. Yeah, I know this isn't. Okay. So he fires. Okay. Pause. He fires the fusion, the full phaser G. See, all four pulses. And then the two phaser ones at me. So he basically does an alpha strike. So I'm going to go ahead and fire the fusion. Not exactly great. Range two does 3 points of damage. Two phaser ones. Two threes, that's 10 points of damage there. And then finally, the four phase three for Gats, range two, for total 14. So that's 24 plus a total 27. And that's all on my rear panels. Yeah, I miscalculated. For some reason, I thought it was going to be internals. And there's no internals. So like, what the heck? Yeah, but I had to subtract it out because there was one leak point of power, and that so he hits one center hole. Okay, I fire my two, got seven. Here's the problem. I saw two. I rolled a six and a four, which is six. So he survives. He's not. The fighters still have not fired their fusions. Why? Don't know. Maybe he's waiting for my rear panels, which I would be doing in his case too. Okay, I do 9 points of damage on the ship, so his shield is down from 24 down to 23. Sorry, down to 15. Sorry. As you can see here. Right, okay, continue on. Now, this is where things get, to me, even more interesting. And that is, okay, I'll let this roll. But what's going to happen here is that I'm trying to avoid having his fighters, at least the one uncrippled fighter, to get on my rear panels. Because I know if he does that, I'm in big trouble. Because even if I let him hit this turn, then he's going to probably hit me next turn. Because of he's going to be within range 3, which means that he can use his fusion charges without using both of them. So key sidestep towards me. I went straight ahead. I think, or did I sideslip? I went straight ahead. Yeah, see, this shows the one's crippled. Yeah, I had to remind him that shuttle 2 is crippled, so he only goes half speed 7, instead of speed 14, sorry, speed 15. And what I do now, because of next impulse, I move, he doesn't. Actually, no, I move, and he does what I told him he doesn't have to, which is he moved first. Yeah, they tried to head to follow me, and I went, you can't do that. You're going speed 26, you only hit 27 warp. Sorry, 27 warp. And that's at the beginning of the turn. So he couldn't do the head, so he went, oh, yes. And that, my dear friends, saved my bacon. He tried to head and found out, oh, he can't do that. Now, he had to move away. His fighters turned in. And this impulse, what I did was, okay, I sideslip into the fighter. Why did I sideslip into range 0 of a fighter with fusion beams and GATs? Simple. I wanted to make sure that those little suckers, those little pods of death would remain on my front panels. That little thing, I want to make sure it would stay on my front panels, because I didn't want to get my rear panels, because my rear panels were pretty full. And he could definitely get internals, and I'd be in a lot bigger of trouble. So I went to range 0, and then after I got to range 0, I did something which I had no choice. But for those of you who know a little history about Starfleet Universe and about K, okay, I think it's okay. The famous pirate. When he went to the academy, there was a sign over the door. Use your tractors, damn it. Now, that's the whole idea. That's just is to remember to use all the systems on your ship, every single one. Even if you don't think it's useful, use every system on your ship. And this is one of those times I was using every system on my ship. And that is, at this point, I then bring up activity. I went, okay, let's look at it. And so at this point, I decide there's only one thing to do. I've got a tractor that fighter. I want him to stay on my on my front panels. I want to make sure he does not move from that position. I've got him in that position. He's stuck there. So I'm going to use one of my tractor repulsor beams. And this is one of those functions of a tractor repulsor beam. You can use a tractor repulsor beam as a tractor beam. Wow. So I tractored the fighter with a tractor repulsor beam because of, at that moment in time, I needed more as a defensive weapon than I needed the tractor repulsor beam later on as an offensive weapon. You know, you do, as in baseball, you do what you have to do to get through this inning, to get through this game, to win this game. You know, whatever that takes. Okay, so it gets tractored, and this is on impulse 27 of turn two. So the important thing here is that I cannot turn. I can sideslip. I cannot turn. At this point, he goes, actually, this, I can't, until he fires, I can't turn. Which is, I think, that was the critical point. So what happens is that he fires his two fusions and the phaser G at me, does 16 from the phasers, and then they got the two fusions, which do another, what? Probably a good bit of damage. 18. So he's done, at range zero, he did 34 points of damage. That's a lot of damage. And that, if I would let him get to my rear panels, he could have done close to that damage. I would have gotten internals. This is why you do what. This is why I tractored him. I went to range zero and I tractored his butt so that he could not get on my rear panels. Because I knew that was going to be my greatest grief. Because I could not stop the hydrant ship from actually doing damage to me. You know, hitting you, firing his weapons at me. I can't do that. But I could stop the fighters from taking advantage of those shots, the hitting on my rear panels, to do internals. Yeah. I'm not sure. That's probably a glitch in the client where it allows the... It tells them that they can move. Okay. Moving onward and forward. Right. At this point, I can actually turn and I'm fine because the important thing is that he fired his weapons. That was the critical thing. And he fired him. Now, I'd not let him go. And for a good reason. I'd not let him go because of, I want to make sure I can kill him next turn. Because he only used two fusions, two charges, and he's got four charges. So, and we're going on to impulse. Okay, we're impulse 30 of turn two. We're moving onward to the end of the turn. Yeah. I was thinking about if I had done that P panel. Okay, we're going on to the end of the turn. And obviously, I've got... He might have... Okay. Yeah, at that point, I dropped the tractor at the end of the turn. just because of at the end of the turn, I want, you know, I want to make sure I didn't have to worry about charging the tier heavy as a tractor. And actually, at that point, I also could restart the charging of the TR Heavy. And there's no alternativity for Trent. There was for me, because, of course, I had to do my panel stuff. Three of the batteries from the front, two from the rear, six and four when it comes to dissipation, which is not bad. Unfortunately, I only have to worry about at this point is the four phaser ones, the one fusion beams, and the two GATs. Now, you know, obviously, when it comes to the GATs, you gotta be very careful about those suckers. You can't get in close. This is, you know, I'm gonna finish this up pretty quick. Just because of it's already, this podcast is going a little long, but I think it's important. I don't want to have to put this off until next. And I'm sure people won't mind watching for another 15 minutes. So, okay. I checked to see what kind of damage he currently has. What is his current array? I decide that, okay, if I forget. Hang on, I'm watching myself here because I don't remember what I did. So I know what I need to do. I need to go around him and given that I throw quite a bit of energy into my batteries, I should be good. Yeah, got 13 points. I start the turn with 13.667 points of energy in my batteries. Okay, finished my energy allocation, and then Trent finished his energy allocation. So I have a slow start of speed 15, and then I switch to speed 30. No, sorry, start with 21 and then go to speed 30 because of I want to have it so I can turn in towards him as soon as possible. Because at this moment in time, I'm at range 8 off his shield number 5. Yeah. And I fired. Why in the world did I do that? Fired two phaser twos as phaser twos. I should have fired two phaser twos, it's phaser threes. That's what I should have done. So I'm not sure what I was thinking there. That was a mistake on my part. Because I could save the energy. Okay, I turned in, and then both four. So I'm still chasing him off as shield number 5. Now back. I forget if I. Okay, I gotta keep an eye on the shield number 2 when it comes to range. Because both of them are range 6. I'm flying away from his his fighter, which is going relatively slow, you know, speed 7, but still, it hits off my shield number 3 at range 6. And then this is the interesting part here. And again, I think this is a mistake now that I look back at it, which is Trent headed directly at me. Not an awful thing, because now if he can centerline me and get close with both these phaser Gs, I'm in deep trouble. But fortunately, he's going speed 23 and I'm going speed 30. He mentions that, oh yeah, this is a het. And I say, oh yes, it is. So with that, okay, let's check in. Okay, but now I'm at range 5 of it, which of course for him, that's a pretty good range. For me, it's a pretty different range too, but here's the problem. I've only got one TR heavy available to me. I've got a displacement device, and I've got 4 phaser 2s that I've left unfired. Now, if I recall correctly, and I'm waiting for myself to do this, but if I recall correctly, I actually displace away from him. I think I displace away from him so that I can get around him. I forget if that's what I do or I do something else. Because I know I get on this shield. The shield number 3 is what I get onto. That I remember. Okay, now he fires his phasers at range 5. Again, not exactly the best approach to do because of, he's at range 5. He's not going to get internals. He's not really going to cause issues for me at range 5. And he should know at this point that I'm going to have to come in closer. Whatever I do. I don't necessarily need to come in closer. I can stick it out at range 5. But he should, at the very least, cause me some angst about it. You know, I should have to try to get into range 5 so that I get on a better shield, you know, and work for it, you know. Okay, he's gone 3 hexes. And we're now at range 4. And I'm coming up on the shield number 1, number 2 boundary. I'm throwing out range 8 of his fighter. So if he wants to, he can fire a phaser from his fighter to my rear panels to do like 1 point of damage. At this moment in time, it doesn't matter that great much. Okay, I sideslip out, so now I'm at range 5. Okay, impulse number 9. Now, this is where things get interesting. Because of, at this point, he cannot hit. He can either sideslip in or go straight. That's what he has to do. Now, here's where things to me get real interesting. Because he decides to go straight. That's fine. Next impulse, next time he gets to turn, next time he gets to move, he can then turn. He cannot do anything at this moment in time. So what I decided to do is I go straight. The whole idea being is that I'm trying to get to that precious shield number 3. Precious. And just so I pull down a little bit farther, get a little farther down, then turn in. and I turn in and I range four right on that shield number two, shield number three boundary. He did not move that impulse, so I could get it. And so now I'm on that damaged shield, that the shield that's only 15 boxes. If I roll well on those TRs, I can get more internals. And then, of course, I still, because I have front half phasers, and then I have my right side phasers. I've got, and this is all at range five. Range four, not exactly the greatest for phasers, but hey, I'm going to try to do as much internals as possible at this moment in time. Oops. Please don't tell me I actually fired that. Please tell me I didn't fire two TRs. Please don't tell me I did something, didn't do another something stupid. Because I'm pretty sure. Come on. I did. I'm an idiot. I apologize. Another mistake on my part. I didn't have two TRs at that moment. I had one TR. Yeah, there it is. Yeah, I remembered. I said there. I just remembered all I can fire one of them. So I got 20 points of damage. So basically it'll be the first die roll. Which is the truth. Then two more, which is from the front half, for another eight internals. I blew away his two phaser ones. At that point, I did that because I wanted to hold the other two phaser twos, because I was hoping, maybe beyond all hope, that maybe I could hit him again. Now, thinking back now, I probably should have just bopped him with everything I had, because of next impulse, he gets a turn. And therefore, that shield, because let me just look at this again. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. He could get that shield out of arc. So I probably should have fired all four phaser twos. That was a mistake on my part. Okay. They said, good game. And I said, yep. And he said, and I just explicitly asked, are you conceding? At that point, he said, yes. Yeah, I just mentioned it was closer than I had expected. And that's fine. You know, it was overall a good game. Obviously, we both made... I don't think I made any tactical errors, except for, obviously, the one with the bringing the rear panels in. I did not think about that. I was going too fast, basically, at the beginning of last turn, so that the fighters could get to my rear panels. Now, obviously, I couldn't have done the panel dump. And that was illegal, but also he illegally fired his hellbore at me. So, you know, at this moment in time, I feel pretty that we both made mistakes in that category, and I think we both were, I think it's around the same. You know, I don't think that would have changed things dramatically. Yes, it would have changed things when it comes to amount of damage. Obviously, if I would have caught his hellbore, you know, okay, I would have had 19 points of damage less, which means I wouldn't have to do what I was planning on doing, and I could have done that panel dump at that point later on, because I wouldn't have had so much energy in my panels. Of course, I wouldn't have had that much energy in my batteries then later on. You know, that it's a whole thing. But anyhow, overall, it was a good game. You know, I'm glad I have evidence that when I tried to fire two TR heavies, I realized that, the first one I used for a tractor beam, and therefore it was only the first turn of arming. So, but it was a good game overall. I enjoyed it. I enjoyed it because I won. I think Trent definitely needs to work on his playing. He played fairly well for a 10-year-old. He played fairly well. He did not make the big concerns. Also, maybe it's just the way Graham has been teaching him, which is, okay, so you lost your two Hellbores. That's your two main weapons. Keep going. You never know what's going to happen later on in the turn. Because experienced players would have conceded at that point. If they would have lost both their Hellbores, that's it. You know, I'm dead. And to be honest, okay, let's back up. If you just lose your two Hellbores, you're not dead. But he lost two Hellbores and two Fusion Beams. At that point, then you're dead. Because of your range for your weapons are limited. The only way he could have won, I think, was that if he would have kept the fighters close to him. So basically use the fighters as additional fusions at the certain range. You know, track to them and pull them along. And then when I come in for my attack run, at that point, then come in and hit me. You know, let them go from the tractors and hit me. You know, overall, if he wouldn't have had his two Hellbores gone, sending the fighters out of me is a good thing, because actually that's how the last Hydran I played against in the Andromeda, that's how he killed me. He was going around the center. He sent his fighters, boom, right after me. And he basically pinned me against the wall and then got his fighters to range one of me, and I died. Plain and simple. Fortunately, at this moment in time, on this game, I was actually able to manage that. I was able to actually define that when I wanted the fighters to hit me. And I was able to kill one of the fighters before it could hit me at range 3. Now, the question at that moment is, should he have fired his fusions at range 3? Probably. But of course, if he would have fired his fusions at range 3, I would have played things a bit differently. I wouldn't have grabbed that one fighter and killed it. I wouldn't have worried about it as much. Would that have been a mistake on my part? Possibly. You know? I wouldn't have had as much... Well, I'm not sure if I would have had as much damage as I got. Possibly less, because of the big thing would be the Gats at that point. Yeah, because you'd want to fire both of them, because you don't know if either one is going to survive. But anyhow, given that, it was a nice game. I'm glad I had a chance to review it with you guys. Obviously, this is going to be posted up on YouTube, so if you want to watch it again, I apologize for how bad the quality is. I will be looking into the future to actually fixing that. Unfortunately, my round 2 game, I did the same thing. So when we go over, I'm hoping to also review my round 2 game, which I lost. And that one, just a short summary of the ending of it, is I screwed up. I let a Fed get to range 8 on my rear panels. He fired, he hit, he got internals to the point where I could not survive. You know, he got one TR beams, and then I tried to do a maneuver, and that maneuver did not work out because my displacement device decided to fail on me. That's the short summary of the end of the game. But there's a lot more coming into that, which I think everyone here would find interesting for me to go over at least both parts. The first part is obviously relatively long. The second part is relatively short. We got done in like, that was the final turn. We got one turn and gone, done. Because I looked at the end of the turn and I didn't have much of a ship left. I was hoping to get some last knocks in and possibly get him down to the point where, if I was really lucky, to get, you know, get the significant damage. But you know, even then, if I really looked at Heart and Hearts, I was dead at that point. But anyway, I'll wrap up with that. I am Paul Franz, and I bid you a good night.